I'm thinking about asking you to write, and there's something that's offensive to some people about that. But the purpose in doing that is not to increase the amount of miscellaneous paper that you own, but there is wisdom in getting these things into the margin of your Bibles. And that's what I would advise or recommend that you do. Is there anyone here that would like it and doesn't have paper? Don't put your hand up because I haven't got any to give you, but we could get some in a hurry, I think, if anybody was so inclined. All right, we'll just let that pass then. Last Lord's Day evening, I gave you the four passages in the New Testament where spiritual gift is mentioned. By way of starting tonight, let's just read together the second of those, which is in the book of Romans, chapter 12. Would you turn there, please? The book of Romans, chapter 12, and we'll read the first 8 verses. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts, differing according to the grace that is given to us, whither prophesy. Let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministry. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with liberality. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil, cling to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing diligently in prayer. Well, let's finish the paragraph. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. And I have a little note here, not driven. Given to hospitality, not driven. Bless them who persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. There is much there that could take a great deal of time. It introduces some new gifts, and there are 2 other texts, as you know, from last Lord's Day. Now, what I would like to do, for just perchance there are some here that weren't with us last Lord's Day, what we're talking about is something that God gives us when we come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. The word gift is used, enablements are perhaps even better. Abilities that we did not have before our salvation that are given to us in the Spirit, with the Spirit, on that occasion of our new birth. the question that you have to face and I have to face is, what were those enablements that God gave me? God gave us. And as we have read here and in the other four passages, these are enablements divinely given, spread among his people, and the purpose of them is not for our respective aggrandizement at all. It is for the effective functioning of the local body of believers. And as we concluded last Lord's Day with that statement, what would our assembly be like if every one of our members knew what their gift was and were working at exercising that gift? He will not give them just randomly. What we have in the congregation before me right now is a variety and an expansive gift that will enable this assembly to function the way it should. Unhappily, not just here at Valley, but just about in every assembly, it is run by a handful of people who have the responsibility, the desire, etc., etc., and then there are those people that just sort of come along with us, you know. Every single born-again Christian is a priest and should be functioning as a priest, and add to that the enablements that God gives us. And that should take care of us as a local body of Christians, each one doing with that enablement that God has given. Introduction. Now, let's start from the beginning, and I will go. I know I skipped one with the numbers that I gave you, and I know which one that is, so I'll pick that one up, and then we'll move on. But just quickly to start off with, the first one that we talked about was the gift of prophecy, or the gift of preaching. Certain people, men and women, although there's a limit to where their gift could be practiced, but the gift that God has given to have the ability and the knowledge and the background to minister the Word of God. Very, very important. Not given to everyone. And we certainly have in our experience had men come to us, not with great educations, not with formal training, so-called, but with a gift in a touch of God's Word that they can speak to hearts. Very important. Number two, the gift of knowledge. A person who has the motivation for knowing the content of Scripture in detail and being able from that knowledge to minister and preach it. How very wonderful if a man has the gift of preaching and also the gift of knowledge. What a beautiful combination. We pointed out that there are evangelists particularly, and perhaps other men, with a very limited knowledge of Scripture. And yet God has used them effectively in their simple ministry to reach men and women who know not the Savior. The gift of teaching. Would you excuse an illustration, please? 2 weeks ago, I used this material at Mountain Ridge. And when the evening service was over, a man came up to me, a young man, and he said, "I am the chemistry teacher at a local high school." And he said, Where does the gift of teaching touch my life? I am doing this every day. I'm effective at it. The people who judge me tell me I'm doing a good job. Where does the gift of teaching fit in here? All of these gifts have spiritual reasons for them. And just because a person might have the skills and the ability to teach in the public schools or privately wherever, does not necessarily, it should be a help, but might not necessarily have the gift of explaining spiritual things there is a gift in the teaching field that involves spiritual things, breaking down the word of life in such a fashion that even children can understand. A difference there that I think is very important. The one that I skipped, and I think I'm correct in this, is the gift of a word of wisdom. Douglas, is that the one that I skipped? It is. All right, let's go back there. Wisdom is a special ability. Now, let me describe the format now. I'm going to give a sentence or two, and then I will dictate the meat of the material, just so you're not writing all over the place. Wisdom is a special ability to take a number of truths and use them to judge the so-called gray areas not directly resolved by a single truth. Definition. One with the spiritual gift of wisdom demonstrates an unusual ability in the church to make discerning applications to practical questions on Christian living, being able to attack problems in our life that is not directly addressed in Scripture, but to take other scriptures that can help Christians to make decisions on these things. The gift of wisdom. Turn with me, please, just very quickly to Acts 6, chapter 6, verse 10. There is a beautiful illustration of just what is involved here, I believe. Acts chapter 6 and verse 10. Yes, this has to do with the ministry of Stephen and the problems that he got into. And in verse 10 tells us, and they, the people that were listed in the previous chapters, were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. He took their complaints and their arguments and brought to bear scripture on it and left those men speechless. Of course, there was a penalty to pay for that, wasn't there? They killed him for doing that. But the ability to reason with people in Scripture and do it from a scriptural base. The gift of wisdom. I think we talked about exhortation, which was number 5 on my list. One called alongside for any number of reasons. For coming alongside to help in a project, embracing proper faith, various actions, and so forth. A counselor who can sit down with people and help. Number 6, the gift of faith. I believe that has been given to you already, hasn't it? 1 Corinthians 12:9, those with the gift, that gift serve to propel the body of believers into activity, claiming the promises of God. The classic example, I think, in all spiritual literature, the gift of faith was the man George Mueller in Britain, England. Bristol, England is what I'm trying to say. If you want a really worthwhile biography to read, there are several books that have been written about this man. A very able preacher. Doing beautifully, but God put an exercise in this man's heart for parentless children, orphans. And in a humble way, he started taking care of them, starting in his own home. In the course of the 60 years that he ministered, some 10,000 orphans passed through his facilities. And never once did he ask anyone for help except God. Now, 10,000 mouths to feed on a preacher's salary in those days was pretty difficult, I would say. One of the accounts in that book tells the story of the children coming to the dining room to eat. And the table was set, and the spoons, and everything was in order. And they even went so far as to say grace, but there was no food. There wasn't any to prepare. And while they were saying grace, there's a rap on the door. And there was a bread truck, a cake truck, one of these bakery wagons that broke down outside there. And the headquarters people said, get rid of your load and we'll get help to get the truck back here so we can get going again. So the whole truckload of baked goods was put at their front door, even while they were saying grace for food that they didn't have. Occurrence after occurrence after occurrence, a man who had the gift of faith, who could rely totally on God and what he could do. Did I give you the gift of the discernment of spirits? Discerning of spirits. Yes, all right, just by review, such a person demonstrates the unique ability to correctly judge the spiritual level and integrity of others. A preacher, a man that we don't know, comes to Valley. This would not happen because we are pretty stingy with who we let take this platform. But we need men who in conversation can read these men. Is this man truly come to us with a spiritual concern, or is he off in left field somewhere, maybe a servant of Satan even? One who can discern a person speaking by the Holy Spirit or by Satan. Acts 8:20-23 has an illustration of that also. Number 8, the gift of helps. People with the gift of helps respond when a need becomes clearly known and a request for help is given. Number 9, the gift of serving or ministry. The term conveys the idea of very special and personal service rendered diligently to a member of the body of Christ. One who, in working among the Lord's people, can discern where there is need, spiritual need, temporal need, whatever, and is able to focus on that, and as a servant of the Lord, to be a help. The gift of serving. Mary and I knew a brother with the gift of serving. His name was Beeldhouse, and I'm talking about Mr. Ori Beeldhouse, the dad of Jim and the other brothers in that family. The particular case involved our youngest daughter, Joan, whom, having been born in Valley Hospital and the things that they do in taking care of mothers and babies and so forth, and it was time for me to take my new daughter and my wife home, and the doctors came down and said, we're going to keep Joni here for a little while. We're not sure that her digestive system is complete all the way through. Well, taking a new mother home without her baby is not the happiest of things. That evening, Ori and his protege, Mr. Molnar, were at our front door. And it was a help. It was a help. And some brethren have the ability to do that. They are there when they are needed. And a real blessing to the local church. Number 10, the gift of administration or the gift of governments. 1 Corinthians 12:8. One with the spiritual gift of administration or government manifests the wisdom, tact, and decisiveness to give guidance, to one of the many aspects of the church's work. We've got some brethren like that in this assembly, and with names, naming names is a dangerous thing to do. But even with this Balcomer estate, estates are not handed out without all kinds of details with lawyers and the things that had to be done in Trenton even, and they were handled by local brethren and handled beautifully. Most of us don't know anything about that, but there were brethren who stepped in and just handled that situation in just good stead. Number 11, the gift of ruling. 10:8, Romans 10:8. Is this a new one now? Yes. The gift of ruling. To stand before others for the purpose of overseeing the work. A person who manifests the confidence, desire, and skills to lead a group. How very important that is. One who can step in a leadership role and delegate, handle the problems that came up, and smoothly get jobs done because of their leadership. A very important thing to have. And we have men and women in this assembly with that gift of ruling. Number 12 is the gift of mercy. That's found in Romans 12:8. The quality in something experienced or observed which arouses feelings of pity, sorrow, sympathy, or compassion. These feelings provide the motivation for action in the one with the gift. And the gift is one who cheerfully demonstrates in action and compassion for those who are sick or in misery, either physically or spiritually. One who can come alongside in a difficult area and be a help. Will you excuse me for naming a name here? And I think maybe this will surprise you. One of the men that I have been associated which has this gift in a very particular fashion is Peter Riedijk. And I have seen him in action. And what I'm referring to is hospital visitation. Boy, that is tough for me. I do not do a good job at that at all. Try, but I'm not good at it. But I've been with Peter, who can step into some difficult places, hospital ministry, and just be a help. And it requires getting in and getting out, because they don't want you there too long, do they? And it is a help, and Peter is good at it. And Peter's in a position tonight that he needs all the help that he can get, doesn't it? And happily, there are men at Silverton that are doing that, and we're grateful for that. But that is an experience that I've had with him that I just appreciated very much. 13, the gift of giving, found in Romans 12:8. To give in association with others, it implies that the giving is not done objectively or coldly, but within the context of a spiritual relationship. Here is fellowship with God in giving as an act of worship. There is fellowship with others when giving is done in the concern for the needy. The definition is, one, with this spiritual gift, has an inner motivation and desire to share with others' needs by giving of himself or his material goods. One with the spiritual gift has an inner motivation and desire to share with others' needs by giving himself his material goods or his money. there is a term that I'm going to give you just now, and unhappily it has some other connotations to it. Now, have you heard of the golden handshake? I expect you have. Somebody gave me once, and I'm eternally grateful for that. I'm referring to my pension. But you know what we don't see as much, I think, at least from my experience, is the preacher standing at the door, and if you watch them, they will shake hands with somebody. And that handshake takes longer than it normally should take. And for some reason, as soon as the handshake is over, the preacher puts his hand in his pocket. You're reading what I'm saying, huh? The personal gifts of the saints to the Lord's servants, whoever they may be. You know, there's something that was drawn to my attention some years ago, and I just never forgot it. We have a policy here of being very kind to the men who minister here. But there was an occasion that I know of where a preacher, this did not happen here, where the preacher came and he did not have enough money to get himself home. Never said a word. Never said a word to anybody. But there was an exercise. Somebody had an exercise and he shook hands with somebody. And was taken care of. Now that would seem to be a foolish thing for anybody to do in this day and age. But years ago, where preachers traveled on buses and trolley cars and so forth, that happened. An engagement to minister the Word of God and really not the means of getting there sometimes. And many of God's servants, particularly in difficult places, are living on that basis. And they have stories to tell that would blow you away. God is no man's debtor. And in wonderful, wonderful ways is able to take care of his own. The gift of giving. Number 15, pastors. Frequently, the term pastor-teacher is used today. Frequently linked to teachers, people who tend Christian congregations as a shepherd tends his flock. Very, very much needed today, but it never was intended to be a one-man ministry. And this, of course, is done very frequently in the good churches even that are around us. Definition. Here is where elders, incidentally, here is where elders are found in the assembly. Move out in ministry, be a help, ministering in personal ways to the Lord's people. There is a ministry that men and women can have that never enter a pulpit. The ministering of pastor teachers among the flocks of God. A pastor, the term pastor, is a gift. An elder is an office. The gift of pastoring, that word has been made into an office. But in the scripture, pastoring is a gift. Eldership is an office. The gift of evangelists, number 16, to announce good news, a preacher of the gospel. Definition, one gifted to go wherever sinners are found and to win them to Christ. That is a gift, evangelism. And we have some great ones in this area. I'm thinking of the Ezekiel Project, an actual little training exercise to equip people not to stand in places like this, but to stand on a subway platform in New York and effectively reach people for Jesus Christ. People are doing that and doing it very, very well. There is a new role of evangelism that is coming into being, I think, now, and I'm referring to prison ministry. There are thousands and thousands of prisoners here in the state of New Jersey. I have forgotten the number. There are 8 or 10 correctional institutions. And with the Emmaus program, particularly the Silverton Assembly, I know they have a weekly meeting of men and women to correct the papers that are sent to them from the prisoners in the state penitentiaries of New Jersey. And men and women are being reached for the Lord Jesus through the ministry of prison evangelism. And God deigns to bless that. Now, coming to meeting tonight, I'm on number 17 now. Coming to meeting tonight, down in the Paramus area, next to the big cemetery there, there is quite a lovely little chapel, a little church, and it is called the Apostolic Church. What's going on in that building, I have no idea, but it apparently is flourishing, certainly seems to. But the apostles, that was an office that the Lord Jesus appointed men to, and that role disappeared with the death of those original 12 apostles, or disciples, if you please. The names given to the men that Christ chose, not correctly used today. Number 18, prophets, foretellers, people to whom God gave knowledge of the future, probably not present today. Their ministry ended when the church was formed and the New Testament canon of Scripture was completed. Those two are not functioning today. Number 19, the gift of healing. People that the Spirit of God honors with the ability to heal physical ills. People that the Spirit of God honors with the ability to heal physical ills. Now, if there ever was an area where quackery is being practiced, it's in this field. And I would hope that you have seen some of the television programs and some of the television magazine programs have just destroyed this with the techniques that some people are having in going through elaborate displays and having people collect crutches, and nothing physically is being done for these people at all. You see advertising in the papers on occasion, healing services. This was a critical thing that was necessary in biblical times. Medicine was almost a non-entity. And there were men. The Lord Jesus did it. The apostles were given the power to do it, and others also. But that, too, has largely gone. Not that there aren't men and women with gifts to help along this line. Certainly our doctors, particularly Christian doctors, have bringing faith and prayer into the healing process, but not the quackery of showmanship that is going on in many of these things today. Now, the gift of tongues needs to be commented upon. In the book of the Acts, at Pentecost, we read that Peter and apparently others ministered the word of God and the hearers, great numbers of them, and the scripture states that every man heard the message in his own language. And there are 10 or 12 different countries mentioned or areas that are mentioned. And the question comes up, how is it possible for a man to speak and to speak at a dozen languages at the same time? That, of course, is not possible. But it happened on this occasion. I have often wondered if the miracle of speaking in tongues the way Peter did it was not in Peter's vocal cords, but in the ears of the people who listened. They heard in their own language, languages that Peter did not know. And yet he was able, through this miraculous miracle that took place, obviously, to communicate with these people, not in a dialect, but in their mother tongue. Obviously, God was involved in that. Have you ever heard a man speak in tongues? I have. Particularly when I'm away on a Lord's Day, and I don't do this anymore, maybe it's not on the radio anymore, but there was an Afro-American preacher on one of the New York stations broadcasting from a colored church in Brooklyn somewhere. And he was something to listen to. He was a man of God. I don't have any question about that at all. And he could preach, and of course, his congregation was right behind him in the way that black people do. One time, halfway through his message, language broke down into gibberish, vocal noises. And the congregation got out of control, I think. Our pastor can do this, you see. Now, I am certainly not an expert in this field, but I have a couple of years of language study behind me, and I know that there is a rhythm, there is a sound that's involved in any language, which, though I might not understand it, I recognize it as a learned language. This was not like that at all. It was not like that at all. This is a gift that is no longer necessary. It was desperately needed when Peter used it to communicate. You remember, it was a feast time in Jerusalem. People from literally the known world were in Jerusalem. And Peter spoke so that they could hear in their own language. And we know that there was great blessing that day. That is not what is happening now. Sounds are spoken, and somebody else who has the ministry of understanding tongues is supposed to stand and interpret for this person. Well, what a waste of time and space to have to go through that kind of a routine. Brother, speak in English in this country. We all understand that. Why go through this kind of a medium? It certainly has nothing to do with your profound knowledge of anything. It just is completely out of place now. It is still being used. And apparently it has a lot to do with showmanship and in certain cultural circles, important. Over a dozen languages mentioned, one set of vocal cords. The sound was gibberish, not available in these days. And it was that voice on the radio that I heard that some time ago. Now, let me conclude, please. That's the list of gifts as it is given in the scripture. There are perhaps some others, smaller ones, lesser important ones, but these are the main gifts that are given in the four passages of scripture that I gave you last Lord's Day. We must be careful to distinguish between divine gift and natural talent. The gifts of the Spirit are supernatural. They enable a man to do what would be humanly impossible otherwise. And this can be a great blessing. I like the word enablement. God gives enablements to us. And as I said last Lord's Day, this is a spiritual thing. This is a private thing between you and God. Read His Word. Ask Him to show you what that is. It is an enablement. He will not give you one that you cannot use, with His help, of course, that you have no ability to do. He will give that ability for you to do. And if I can isolate the gift that God has given me, and you can do the same thing, this assembly spiritually ought to flourish under God's hand with all of us doing that little something that God has given us the enablement to do. It involves serving. Every single one of them involves serving. Me reaching out to you to help in whatever areas God has given me the enablement to do that. And similarly for you, with your working field, the assembly here at Valley. In our fellowship times together, in our conversations, we need an ear to be listening to difficulty, problems, disappointments, discouragements among the Lord's people. And then to be able, kindly and in love, to step into that situation with scripture, with prayer, with financial support, with mowing lawns or washing dishes or whatever is placed upon our hearts to do, to reach out to the company of Christians that we are a part of, and do it for Jesus' sake. Now, I'm going to sit down, but I have skipped one illustration here that I don't want to miss, and it has to do with the gift of helps. I copied this afternoon from Mr. McDonald's commentary on the New Testament, and this is what he says about helps. A Christian lady once said, "When my mother became old and needed someone to care for her, my husband and I invited her to come and live with us. I did all I could to make her comfortable. I cooked for her, did her washing, generally cared for all her needs. While I was going through all of these motions, I was unhappy inside. One day my mother said to me, 'Dear, you never smile anymore.' You see, I was showing mercy, but I was not doing it with cheerfulness." How careful we must be. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful tonight that Thou hast listed for us and given us these words, enablements, things, skills, that Thou alone art able to put into our hearts and our lives to help, to be of assistance, to further the work of the Lord Jesus in the congregation here at Valley Bible Chapel. And Lord, we would pray tonight that Thou would make it very clear to each one the direction that You would have our separate lives to take. And then to start an activity, the doing of the things that the Lord puts in our heart to do it in love, with cheerfulness, with the desire of being a help and glorifying the Lord Jesus. Father, help us so to do, and we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm.